Welcome. My name is Divine. Welcome to episode 219 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons Podcast. In today's podcast, I'll be addressing a topic that I title Surroundings. Surroundings. And my anchor scripture by the grace of God is going to be taken from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. I'll read from the King James Version. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. It says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." I'm going to read it again. "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, what is the lesson here, and how does this relate to the topic surroundings? The thing is, your surroundings can many times determine who you are. Can many times determine what you will be. Let me explain. In fact, maybe I think it may be helpful to understand what the word surrounding means. Your surrounding literally is what you surround yourself with. That's a simple definition. Your surrounding is what you surround yourself with. Like, for example, some people, you know, they have friends. They have colleagues, they have acquaintances, you know, and they spend a lot of time with those people. Some people, their surrounding is video games. They literally will spend hours and hours and hours and hours of their day in that video game surrounding. Some people is social media, YouTube, things like that. That's their surrounding. For some people, their surroundings are books and studying. The thing is, these things all affect you in one way or the other. Sometimes they can affect you for good, and sometimes they can affect you for evil. You know, sometimes they can bring blessings to your life, and some other times they can bring pain and curses to your life. So you need to ask yourself, what's in my surrounding? What is in my surrounding? Who are the people that I'm surrounding myself with? What are the things that I'm surrounding myself with? Because the Bible says that evil company corrupts good manners. You know, a certain translation says evil communication, but the New King James Version. It says that evil company corrupts good manners. So who you are now is probably not who you will be in the future. One of the things that can really modulate who you'll be in the future from who you are now is what you surround yourself with. Because I'm sure you know some people that were very good people, had really good upbringing, but then they surrounded themselves with bad friends, with the bad crew, and that ended up upending their lives. You can look at a biblical example of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, his father was Solomon. Solomon was a wise man. So Rehoboam had the upbringing of an extremely wise father. But Rehoboam, at first, you know, he surrounded himself with people that worked with his dad. They gave him good advice. But then he ditched those people and surrounded himself with and got advice from people, from young men that grew up with him. Right, they give him bad advice, and that bad advice led to the division of the kingdom of Israel. So his surrounding affected who he was. Sometimes your surrounding is a video game, right? You see some people, they play some very violent video games, and then you wonder why they have certain violent tendencies, or you wonder why they have this pent-up anger. You wonder why they have certain behavioral tendencies. Their surroundings really changed quite a bit of that. You see some people that were not doing well academically, but then somehow they get into a group of people that are very wise, a group of people that are very hardworking, a group of people that are very studious. And they almost feel like the odd one out. And because of that, they redouble their efforts. They start doing well. They start working hard. And then you notice that, man, this person's results have changed. Why? It's because their surrounding changed. Their surrounding changed. You see some people, their surroundings are social media, you know, Facebook, YouTube, X, which was previously Twitter, and whatnot. And you notice that they have a lot of anxiety. They have a lot of depression, right? Because their lives are being governed by how many likes they get on some social media page, or how many people watch whatever YouTube shorts they put up or whatever. Those behavioral tendencies of anxiety, depression, again, are governed by their environment. So now that we have a better understanding of what what your surrounding is, what can you do about it? Well, the obvious answer to what I've said is surround yourself with good. Get away from or cut off things that are evil in your surroundings. Because honestly, sometimes, and that's really what you should do. The thing is, sometimes you don't have any control over what your surrounding is. If you look at the book of Revelation, if you look at Revelation chapter 2, I think when Jesus Christ was referring to certain churches, those churches, I think one of them, I think it was maybe the church in Pergamum. Jesus Christ said that you dwell in the place where Satan has his throne, right? So you may live in a godless society and you have no control over it. Actually, even this world, if you noticed, I think the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, that we are pilgrims on this earth. This world is a godless place, right? The Bible even says that the devil is the god of this world. So you have no control over that. Right. All you can do is to keep serving the Lord in those circumstances. Right. But the thing is, many times your surrounding, you can change it. Many times you do have control over your surrounding. Right. So like, for example, there are certain friends you may have to cut off. Right. There are certain things you may have to cut off from your life. It may be people. It may be things. Cut those things off that you know are not benefiting your life, that you know are not bringing God's will into your life. Instead, it's bringing pain, bringing sin. You need to cut those things off. And let me tell you this, when you're cutting something off, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be painful, right? It's going to be painful. But sometimes you have to endure temporary pain to enjoy long-term eternal gain. But if you keep those things around, keep those things in your surrounding, it may end up truncating your destiny, right? Like, for example, Jesus Christ said that if your eye causes you to sin, cut it off. If your arm causes you to sin, cut it off. Those things, it's not Jesus literally telling you to cut out your eyes and literally cut off your arms. What Jesus Christ is saying is figurative, because your eye is an important part of you. Your arm, I mean, without your eyes, you cannot see. Your arm is also an important part of you. Without your arms, there are many physical things you cannot do, right? But those things are important parts of your body. But Jesus Christ is saying, you know what? If this thing is not helping you, go ahead and cut it off. Go ahead and cut it off, right? So that means there should be nothing that should be so important that you should not be willing to cut off. There is nothing that should be so important that you should not be willing to cut off. If it's not in line with God's will for your life, if it's not moving you closer and closer to a relationship with God, what kind of friendship do you have? If you have a friendship, it doesn't matter how close the person is, even if it's a family member, right? Oh, my cousin, my this, my that. If those people are not leading you towards God's will, go ahead and cut them off. Look at Abraham. If you look at the book of Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, God told Abraham, get out of your country, get out of your kindred to a land that I will show you. Abraham's family, they were idol worshippers. That was not a surrounding that was conducive to the growth of Abraham in his walk with God. So God was like, Abraham, you need to cut off your family. You need to walk away from them, right? You literally need to walk away from them, right? And Abraham, that walking away was what kind of kickstarted his fulfillment of destiny. Although, as many of you know, Abraham did not fully obey that instruction. He kept Lot around with him, right? But one day, he had to take that painful decision of going his separate ways from Lot. So again, what do you have to, I'm just trying to challenge you today. What do you have to go your separate ways from? Is it having to go your separate ways from a friendship? Is it having to go your separate ways from a relationship? Is it having to go your separate ways from an evil behavior? Is it having to go your separate ways from something you really enjoy, but you know that this thing is not God's will for your life? Either get those things out of your surroundings, right? Like, for example, if you notice in the Bible, I cannot remember exactly where, but I believe that there were some people that Paul or some apostles preached to, and their books, they burned them publicly, right? So, saying that, you know what, these things, we're not going to touch them anymore, right? So those books, right? And I think the Bible says that those things were very expensive. They were expensive, so that means they were things of value. That means they were things that were precious, but you burnt those things, right? That's a cutting off, right? So there are some things that you physically can get out of your surroundings and destroy them, throw it away, right? And not have access to it anymore. If, for example, you know that something is a tool that the enemy is using it to introduce you to watching pornography or doing something, or is a subscription you have, right? You see some people, they subscribe to certain magazines, right? And you see like lewd pictures and things like that. Cut those things off. Those are things you can get rid of, right? It may be painful because it may be something you may have enjoyed, but that thing is not everything that seems enjoyable, right? Some things are gravel coated with honey. Go ahead and let go of those things, right? And then there are some places that you are that you're like, you know what? I got to get out of here, right? This surrounding. So sometimes you have to jettison some things from your surroundings. But sometimes you actually have to come out of certain surroundings. That's the truth. There are some surroundings you have to come out of. Abraham had to come out of his surroundings for God to start working with him. So there may be a place you may live, or there may be a place you may work where God is like, see, you need to pack up your load and leave this place. If not, you cannot fulfill destiny in this place, right? So I'll just encourage you, like, examine your surroundings. Examine yourself. Where are you? Who do you have around you? What do you have around you, right? What surrounding do you dwell in? If it's in line with God's will, good. But if it's not, if there are things you need to remove, or if there are areas you need to remove yourself from, go ahead and make that decision today. Because again, I'm telling you this, those things can mess up your life. They can mess up your life, or they can prevent you from fulfilling destiny. You see some people, literally all they need is just a change of location. A location changes, their surrounding changes, and things just change dramatically for them. Or all they need is to cut off something. Cut off something, cut off certain people, and their lives change, right? And one thing that I think is very important to remember as you're dealing with your surroundings and either removing yourself from a bad surrounding or jettisoning certain things from your life is when you have come out of those surroundings and you have separated yourself from those things, don't touch the unclean thing again. Don't, right? After you've removed certain things, don't bring back evil, right? Only thing you want to bring in is good. The only thing you want to bring in is righteousness. The only thing you want to bring in is holiness, right? Look at the second part of our reading. It says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Okay, you've separated yourself. And then look at this, it says, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, right? So don't touch the unclean thing. Don't go back to those things that you have left. Don't resubscribe to those things that you have unsubscribed from, right? Because again, those things are hurting your destiny. They are not helping your destiny, right? Watch what you let back in, right? Because sometimes, you know, you do a clean sweep of your life, get rid of all these evils. Well, when you've swept the place clean, you know, make sure that you are building good things on that clean foundation, right? And honestly, like one of the ways you can get a clean foundation, actually, the way you can get a clean foundation is to start with Christ. It's not one of the ways. That's the only way. The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So, why don't you start that clean foundation? If you're a person that, you know that, man, you are not in a good surrounding, or you've kept so many things around yourself that do not glorify God, why don't you take that opportunity with God today and start today? Why don't you begin by surrendering your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you give yourself a clean slate in Christ? The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So why don't you start that journey today and start that process of salvation by saying this prayer with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I am a sinner. I need your help. I need your forgiveness. Have mercy on me. I confess all my sins. Forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me with your blood. Come into my life and be my Savior and my Lord. Give me a brand new beginning. Write my name in the book of life. Sanctify me with your blood and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the grace to honor you all the days of my life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Lord, I pray for everyone that has surrendered their lives to you, and I pray for everyone listening to this podcast. I pray, Lord, that you will strengthen them by your glorious might to do your will. I pray that you receive them into your family. And I pray, Lord, that may you give us a brand new beginning in Christ. And as we have that brand new beginning, give us the grace, Lord, to build on that good foundation. Help us, Lord, not to go back. Help us not to reacquaint ourselves with the things of the world, but to only welcome into our lives the things of God, the things of the kingdom, that your name might be glorified. Help us going forward, Lord, not to touch the unclean thing, and help us to remain connected to the vine. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. And Lord, I also pray for people that lack the courage, because sometimes it's painful, sometimes it's scary to get out of certain things or to jettison certain things from our lives. Father, I pray that may you please anoint us with the spirit of boldness. Give us that boldness to take those decisive steps so that we can move forward in our walk with you. It must have been scary for Abraham to get out of people he has known, his family, his kindred. But that was the catalyst. That was the first step in a series of steps that defined his destiny. So Lord, give us the grace to step out in boldness, take that step of faith and move away from certain things or get rid of certain things. And Father, we cannot do this in our own strength. But as we take that step of faith, Holy Spirit, please lift us up. Carry us up. Don't put us down. Help us. Give us power to overcome, that your name might be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. So for those that said the prayer of salvation, congratulations, you're a child of God. There are three things you need to do. Number one, listen to episodes 96 to 101 on the website. 96 to 101 is titled The 5 Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. It will tell you specific things you can do so you can grow your walk with Christ. Number two, find the Bible translation you understand. I love the New Living Translation. I feel like for many people, they would easily get the New Living Translation. Read it. Think about it. Make this a daily habit. Really think about it. Meditate on what you've read. And then write on action steps for your life and follow those action steps. And then the third thing is find a Bible-believing church. Not a church. A Bible-believing church. Find a place where you can fellowship with other believers. Find a place where you can hear the true, pure, undiluted word of God. In a Bible-believing church, right? There are many churches that are not Bible-believing. You don't want to be in those kinds of places, right? So if you hear, you know, as you read your word, the Bible, and you hear things from church, you're like, man, this church keeps preaching a lot of heresy, things that are not in line with God's will. That is not a surrounding you want to be in. You want to go ahead and leave that place so you don't mess up your relationship with God, right? But do these three things, and you'll see your life begin to take a turn for the better. Until next time, until episode 220, I pray that you have a wonderful week ahead. I pray that the presence of the Lord will be with you. And I pray that he will give you the grace and the strength to overcome. Until next time, have a wonderful week. Shalom.